Blog Talk Radio.
They forget to bring me water. They forget that I'm here. They don't know how smart even see my tears. What did I do wrong? What did I do? I just want someone to love me. Dog on a 10-foot chain.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 200. And this is the last show for the year 2018, everyone. So let's rock the airways for the animals, because I'll be returning January the 3rd of 2019 on a Thursday. This show is going to be on just like before, every Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide with unlimited listeners, and you can even Skype in. And this number, I'm going to be taking calls a little bit later on, but you can put this in your contacts. It's area code 310-982-4270, and press 1 to speak. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette online, and that's www.ppjg.me. And on the right-hand side of the column, you can free subscription to the PPJ Gazette. And every time there's a new podcast coming up, you will be informed in your primary email. And at the bottom of each article, you can share from that also. I want to welcome back. I want to just go over a couple things before I get my guest. She came back, and she's a wonderful guest, just like the rest of them. But anyway, I want to give shout-outs to everyone out there throughout year 2018 and other years. We're heading next June. We'll be 5 years doing these shows, and they have been so successful and great audiences and big audiences. And, you know, we're out there fighting for the animals. It's the way we should be, because they don't have a voice, you know, to get up and defend themselves or call in this radio station or call the police or make police reports. They're unable to do that So we have to do it for them. So everyone, I wanted to go ahead and I wanted to give a shout out to all everyone out there on the Facebook pages out there that's promoting these shows every Thursday. Take Action, Help Ban Animal Gas Chambers, Megan Mason, and also Megan Mason and Holly Smith. Thank you all so much. And if you have the time, and if you haven't already, go by there and press like and see what they have so you can maybe help out. Voices Care for Animals support group on Facebook. Ask to join. And you'll get, you know, check out all the admins. I want to give a huge thank you for all of them. And to see how you can help out on miracles, petitions, there's shows, there's, you know, awareness, prevention, you name it, it's on there. The Paul's Call Show on Facebook. We got fans of animal rights, Arlene. Thank you so much, all you're doing. We got Help Fight the War Against All Animal Cruelty Today. Debbie Eisenman and Evelyn Pendle. All your great help all year and helping me get this show out. Voice for Animals on Twitter, Sean Walters, a big, huge shout out to him. The Paul's Across America Advocacy, made our Cecilia Maida, and also there's a list of names here that all have done several shows, and they were wonderful guests too, and they're promoting my show on their website. We got the Pitbull Advocate, Patrick Bowler, he's been a guest on here. Diane Lynn Echo, she's been a guest on here. We love Pit Bulls. We team up and help each other promote each other's show and with guests and everything. A big thank you to Patrick Bowler, the Pit Bull Advocate. He also knows Dog Father. And this is Pit Bull Debbie, Patrick, if you're listening in, and Diane. And I approve this message, but listen, I know in 2019 we're still going to be a great team out there. So keep up the great work you're doing, because the Pit Bulls need a second chance. They, you know, got to blame the deed, not the breed, and they need their rights, you know, granted, not violated. So everyone, all these shows are archived. So if you're coming in late or you miss one day, you can always go back to listen to them. www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescareforanimals. And also you can go to Blog Talk Radio and just in the search, you can put Debbie Dahmer in the search engine. And also, you could be Voices Care for Animals, and all 200 shows will pop up. Just sit, which one you want to listen to, press the arrow, wait a minute to download, and it will play. You can share on the left side of the screen to all the social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, the crosses, all of them. You can copy it. You can email it. You know, they're all there. So please keep spreading the words, because what we're doing on this show is a lot of awareness and prevention and safety and, you know, education to help us all out to be aware of what's going on out there. So please do your part. And I'm Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and the host on Voices Care for Animals. And I'm welcoming everybody aboard and hope you enjoy the show and you keep coming back and spreading the word. And please visit the PPJ Gazette online. Marty Oakley, I was her host on Voices Care for Animals on her network for 163 shows. And I want to give a big shout out to her. You know, she's helped me put this show together, and I can't thank her enough. Deb Padovano, I call her my press agent. She is an animal warrior sister out there fighting. Thank you, Deb Padovano, and all my family and friends involved. This list is huge, and I thank all of you. It's been a tough year out there, everyone, but we're going to reach its destination all in good time. We just got to stick together and not stand still, because once we stand still, there's no changes made. But I want to welcome back my guest, Donna Hughes. She's her song. Hey, Donna, how are you? Welcome back. And I thank you for that beautiful song that I'm playing at the beginning of this show. I switch them off, but that song is beautiful. You know, dog on a foot.
Thank you so much. If only dogs could write songs, you know?
I know. But I appreciate that. And 2019, I'm going to be using it again, okay? So it's just such beautiful.
Yes,
I don't want to.
Absolutely.
And Harry Humira, I use one of his too, I Am, I Am. And that's a good one too. And I want to roll them over into 2019 because I love them so much, you know, and I don't want to change them. But welcome back. And Donna has been on several shows on TS Radio, Voices Care for Animals. Donna, you're such a great advocate out there, and your voice carries, you're inspiring. And you just want to, refresh the audience on, you know, how you got started and you know, there's a petition to give you a website and all that. Go right ahead. You're live and on the air.
Yes. Well, my life has always been sort of rotating around animals, or, you know, my world revolves around them. And I've just had every kind of animal imaginable, and I've had you know, they've been my best friends. I was an only child. So, you know, all of us only kids out there, we have these pets that are our sisters and brothers. We learn to entertain ourselves with these wonderful friendships and relationships as we grow up. And luckily, you know, we're so lucky to have these animals. They're blessings, you know, they're blessings. And so I just really never thought too much about it until the dog chaining issue, you know. I never thought much about it. It was kind of like not on my radar. And I started noticing a neighbor, not my next door neighbor, but a neighbor down the road was chaining their dog. And I kind of noticed this dog out there one day in this really pouring torrential sort of tsunami type rain, you know, like monsoon. And I'm just out there, you know, I'm driving by, I'm going to work, and I'm just like, wow, that's terrible. And then another occasion, I would see the dog out there in sweltering heat. And another occasion, I would see the dog in, you know, freezing cold. And this dog never appeared to ever have any attention, interaction, or attention, you know, just never appeared to be able to go inside. And so I started really having anxiety attacks over this dog and all the other dogs. I started thinking, oh, man, well, there's probably lots of dogs like this. And, oh, man, what do we do now? And, oh, my gosh. And so I tossed and turned and, you know, I'm like, one minute I'm going to go over there and beat him up. The next minute I'm going to go over there and steal the dog. The next minute I'm going to call the police. I mean, I'm just so, you know, when you call the police, you know, you have my biggest thing with calling the police at that time. And this has only been about 3 years ago. But my biggest fear with calling the police would be because they always want your name. You know, all of us that are animal advocates know that when you call and complain, they give your name to the person you're complaining about. Which, you know what, if it was just up to me, I'd be like, yeah, that's my name, that's who I am. But see, I have all these other animals. And so I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm playing this out, and I'm thinking, if they're really mean people, they're going to come and they're going to hurt my animals. You know, I got horses, you know, how can I stand out there with them 24/7 and guard them? I can't. So that's what stopped me from calling. And then finally one day I did call, and then I was so shocked to find out that this was legal, and this was there was nothing anybody could do from the legal world, from the legal standpoint. So then I started asking around, and I started calling other animal advocates. And so then I started, you know, attending the county commissioners' meetings and the city council meetings, and, you know, I got myself really worked up about it, and I got really angry, and I really thought that I was going to have to be very ugly. Because in my mind, I thought when I started going to the commissioners' meetings, I thought, you know, I'm going to stand there and I'm going to speak about this and I'm going to bring it up. And what's going to happen is they're going to poo-poo it and I'm going to get real mad. And so what happened was exactly the opposite. I brought this up. I mean, there were other people, you know, bringing it up with me. It was a speech I did, and I think they took about 60 days to think on it. And the next time we showed up, they passed it, and I was shocked. And the city council passed it in the first time as well. Now, I wasn't so lucky in neighboring Davidson County. Haven't gotten it passed there yet. But they have made some improvements in their animal welfare laws there. I live in Randolph, but I also do a lot of business in Davidson. So, and we're in North Carolina. So, you know, I was pleased that they did improve their animal ordinances and different things, you know, like their spay and neutering programs. They have a lot of money there and stuff. But, I mean, it's like if I look back on those times when I didn't sleep at all worrying about all the chain dogs, you know, I have to really struggle now to find a chain dog in Randolph County. Now, I'm sure they're there. I've had calls from people that tell me about some that they know about, and we can't fix it all. And there's going to be some people that get around everything that we do, you know, with our rules and everything. For some reason, I don't know why anybody would want to chain a dog. If you think about it, if you're on a chain and you're a dog and lightning is out there striking, how in the world are you not getting shocked? I mean, dogs have gotten killed, and, you know, with the chains.
I know.
But I really could just go on and on. I'll go ahead and shorten, you know, my portion just to say that it is really possible to change. You wouldn't believe the smile on my face when I go past that house now where the yellow dog used to be chained, and the yellow dog's no longer there. And the other day I saw the two dog houses that they had for the dog, and they were both too small for him. And they have for sale or free or something. They're giving them away. I don't know what happened to the dog. I don't know if they took him, you know, and gave him away. But the point is he's not chained and he's not suffering. And, you know, hopefully he's with a different family that lets him come in. And I know that the criticism a lot of people have with passing the tethering at the very beginning is that the shelters will fill up. Well, yes, they will fill up to begin with, but it's just like smoking. People used to smoke in public buildings, but you can't smoke in public. You can't smoke in the airport. You used to could smoke on the airplane when I was a kid. People get used to things, and you know what? People get used to it. That's what they do. So we just have to get them there. We have to get people used to and accustomed to treating animals the right way.
Right. Agreed. Totally. You know, because their rights should be granted, not ignored or swept under the carpet, or, you know, they should be kicked to the curb. They're, you know, all lives matter, Donna, you know, out there, even the animals. And they have the rights. They have a right to be here on Earth, just like we do. You know, and if we don't,
right.
You know, there's still a lot of, you know, animal cruelty going on out there. I mean, it goes, you know, decade after decade, month after month, you know, day after day. And it needs the spotlight put on a lot of these issues that, you know,
mm-hmm.
just get back. And, it, you know, it looks like sometimes they come up to the front and then all of a sudden they get right to the back burner again. So it takes all of us to take that action and do something. Because if we're quiet and shy and not saying nothing, the problem prevails and they get worse.
Right.
And that's the worst
that's
problem, you know. And it's sad because, you know, I hear people, oh, nobody cares, or, you know, you hear all these excuses. But if you don't speak out, you know, you got until you find out for sure, you have to stand up and speak out for them. Because I do it myself. You know, contact the legislators and, you know, either through email or phone calls, you know, or, I mean, it all counts. Every effort counts. And get your voice out to everyone, because never think, you know, just like voting, your vote is your voice. So when you go out and vote, that's your voice saying, okay, I want such and such, you know, person, or, you know, I want, you know, I'm voting for this to happen. And with the politicians, you can contact them, and I'll give you the number, area code 202-224-3121. And you put your zip code in, you press 1 for your senator, and press 2 for your state representative. And you can call them 24/7 after hours and weekends. You just leave a voicemail. You know, get with them, connect. Connect and try and do what you can to, you know, when the new laws come out in 2019, be a part of them. Discuss it with your politician, because we can have more laws in there that are stricter and harsher that is going to be better for the animals. You know, so get with them, because in Florida here, it's January 25th in 2019, you know, we're submitting the legislation to get with them, so there is deadlines. So, Don, I appreciate everything that you're doing out there, because you even have a petition. Paul's Pet Foundation, Sam Diaz, he was a guest on the show several times, and he has your petition on his website.
I wonder if Sam's listening. Let's give a big shout out to Sam.
Yeah, Sam, thank you. I texted him earlier and let him know that you was coming on and everything. So, Sam Diaz, Paul's Pet Foundation, thank you for all you're doing, too. And my mother, Donna, Pat, is listening, a.k.a. Moose. She don't look like a moose. They just her nickname. My beautiful mom inside and out, loving and caring. Always love her, you know, and she got her support, so. It, you know, together we can make a difference. We just got to at least try, you know. And I look back here, Don, and you was on Voices Carry for Animal. This is on TS Radio, number 62, Voices Carry for Animals, number 115, and Voices Carry for Animals, number 153. And now tonight, number 200. And looking forward to having you on in 2019 also. So we never stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't give up. We can't.
That's right.
You know, I mean, sometimes I know a lot of us, we get aggravated and we get burnt out, and just take a break and come back stronger, because that's what we want to do in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Come back better, stronger than ever. And we can do that, you know, whatever we need to do, because put these all these problems in the spotlight and get them, you know, taken care of. Nip them in the butt, you know, that's what, take a grip on them and nip them in the butt. It's like everyday problems we have. Do that. You know, you see it, you take care of it, gone. Get it, got it, gone.
Right.
Yep. And you want to give you're on Facebook, and everyone, if you haven't already, Donna has a page on Facebook, and that's Dogs Without Chains, right, Donna?
Yeah, I think it's called Unchained Dogs Today. I changed the name, but you got a good memory. That's what I did call it. It's Unchained Dogs Today.
Okay, they're good. And then just check it out, because you got an awesome page there, and you got the YouTube video with the dog on a 10-foot chain. And everyone, if you haven't seen that in the song, get some tissues out, because it's very sad. You know, these dogs deserve better. Animals deserve better, Donna, from all angles.
Yeah.
I mean, I do these shows, and it's shocking on how so many of them are getting so badly treated, unfair treatment. And they should live free from, you know, fear and anxiety and torture and neglect and abuse. You know, we need more compassion in this world, kindness. You know, under the bond between animals and humans is magical if you allow it to come into the animals, you know, come into your heart. Because they're awesome. And that's the way it should all be. You know, I don't like hearing people saying, oh, I hate cats or this and that. It's like, why? You know, they're so innocent, defenseless.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, and, you know, they're voiceless and helpless, you know, just like the children and the elderly. You know, I see a lot of different cases. Everyone get with your, you know, the politicians, because they're the big dogs. You know, try to be polite, you know, and nice and, you know, professional. And you can get your point across without yelling or, you know, getting irate. That's what I do. I'm in a tone of voice, or, you know, in my writing, I try to be, you know, the best I can be, so they'll understand what I'm trying to say for these animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you do the same too, Donna. And I know you've seen some changes out there, you know, with what you're doing. So it's not like spinning your wheels, right? I mean, it's we're getting listened to. And that, And that those two songs, they're heart-wrenching, everyone. So if you haven't heard them yet, please check them out. Because they're from the Heart and Fly album, right? The two versions. And the other song's beautiful too, Donna. You got a
one
beautiful
dog
voice. Yes, you got a beautiful voice. Keep it up.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Because you're not, you know, you're out there fighting hard. And I got a caller calling if you won't take any calls right now.
Sure.
Okay, area code 530. You are live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 200. Go right ahead. Go ahead.
Hello, our warrior ladies. This is Jennifer again.
I don't hear Jennifer.
How are we doing? You know, I can't stay away. I just can't.
Good, that's a plus.
So you'll have to deal with me again.
Again. And I don't mind, so, because that's a big plus, you keep coming back.
Well, we all love the animals, and you know that the chain dogs, like with Donna, just pulls and yanks at my heartstrings. So I have to pop in and like always, thank Donna for her wonderful music. I wanted to let Donna know that along with the anti-dog fighting campaign, since I've picked up the campaign with them, the anti-chaining portion of it, I did a promotional video. And when I share that link, I share your chaining songs along with your petition, because those are very gut wrenching. I mean, they get you good. And if anyone has a heart and soul, I hope it moves them to also take action in this regard, whether locally or beyond. So we do greatly appreciate your songs, Donna, and I'm hoping that as I'm sharing this link like crazy with your petition attached, because our survey is attached as well, and I appreciate you notifying your petition signers about the survey. We did get a fairly decent bump of people filling out the survey. What the survey is, for those that haven't seen it, we're using it basically to urge America to speak out in mass, is what I say, is, you know, the more people filling it out, the better, is we're looking for details. So when people observe the suffering that these, you know, that our dogs go through out there, is, you know, we want the details for this, because, you know, eventually we're hoping to approach Congress with this material. So if we can have, you know, along hopefully with Donna's petition, when the time comes, Donna's petition and surveys filled out with detail, as, you know, to the suffering that these dogs go through and what people observe across the country, we really hope it makes a compelling enough statement to say, you know, America, we're tired of seeing this, what these our best friends are experiencing out there. You know, federally it was labeled cruel in 1996. So, you know, why have we not taken steps as a country to fix this on a larger scale? Luckily, there's been some amazing developments here. Alabama got one of their first no unattended tethering laws locally. I think it was Huntsville, and you'll have to pardon my memory. I think that's the town, Huntsville, Alabama, that one of the first. So history was made there for Alabama to get a no unattended tethering ordinance passed there. That was amazing. So that's some really good news. So it was very exciting. So it's like, if that can be happening in Alabama, you know, we're getting there. And then as far as the campaign as a whole, we're still working at getting a representative here in California to get a statewide no unattended tethering law passed here. Right now, we're currently reaching out to legislators to hopefully find someone that will author or co-author the bill. And we're hoping, and if we can get this passed in California, we could be the first state to have a no unattended tethering ordinance statewide. And then hopefully more states will run with it and start pushing for it in their state, because it's already been proven. There's a lot of information out there in many areas where that no unattended tethering is the best, you know, it's the easiest to enforce for anti-tethering legislation. So we're definitely excited. So I really wanted to let you ladies know about that. And I also wanted to really quickly share, I don't want to take up all the time, recently an adorable little book, I'm not sure if either of you have seen it yet, but Tamara Thanes, her Who Changed You Publishing, I wanted to give a shout out to an excellent book that her publisher has created. Have you seen it yet, either of you, Donna?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's so precious. This little story.
No, wait a minute. Are you talking about Tammy Thanes?
2 Chainz 2 Publishing?
Yes.
Tamara, she used to run Dogs Deserve Better. She is an angel on earth. She was such an inspiration to me when I first got started.
Right. Now, she's an amazing lady, a real warrior. I mean, she's hardcore. I mean, probably most people out there know that she wed her husband chained to a doghouse. So on the steps of the Pennsylvania legislature. So if that doesn't make a statement, I don't know what will.
And she got herself arrested a couple of times, and they put pink handcuffs on her, but she did that for the animals.
Right. No, she's wonderful. She's done so many wonderful things, you know, for the chain dogs. And I just recently purchased, and it arrived a couple days ago, and I just absolutely love it. But for all the unchaining people out there, that when they're not only working the legislative part of it, the educational part of it is also so important. And I would love to see this book be placed in grade schools all across the country to help in this issue. But this book is called Dandelion's Dream. And it's so adorable. It's by Heather Laufmeyer, illustrated by April Peterson. Do you mind if I quickly read a little bit on the back of the book?
Sure, go right ahead.
It's super cute. Part of the Kindness to Animals series, and so it's called Dandelion's Dream. There's a little section on the back. Sweet little dandelion lived all alone. Her bed was a barrel. I'll try not to lose it. Her companion, a bone. Mm-hmm. The soft grain grass had been slowly replaced, leaving dirt behind in the path that she paced. In the daytime, she'd wait while she watched passing cars, and the darkness she'd wished on all of the stars. In the winter, she'd shiver, no escape from the cold, with no shield from the sun. Summers got old. She yearned for a family and a nice cozy bed, and scratch on the belly, a pat on the head. She dreamed of the day when she'd be the one alongside a jogger for a brisk morning run. There was only one thing that brought Dandelion joy, a red-headed, freckled-faced 8-year-old boy. So that's a little excerpt. And it says, could a little boy be Dandelion's hero? Find out in this lyrical rhyming story from author Heather Laufmeyer, part of her Kindness to Animals series, perfect for ages 5 and up, and excellent for both humane education and library and family story time. So I wanted to share that, but it's just like it's a beautiful little book, so I highly recommend it.
It sounds awesome.
Yes, I loved it. I totally love it. And so, I wish there was a way that we can get into more schools and let the teachers read it to the kids, so they could go home and tell their parents about it and how, okay, we shouldn't be chaining our dogs.
That's right. You know what? I want to tell you this really quickly. You just said something about children that made me think of this, and it just kind of blows my mind even still. I got asked to sing at an elementary school, and I'm thinking, gosh, these kids are going to be so bored with me. I'm no Taylor Swift, you know. They're probably all into something totally cool. And I was just like, okay, what am I going to sing? Kids, you know. But you know what? I sung a few songs and they were really into it. But when I got to the Dog on a Chain song and I sung it, I really didn't know what my reaction was going to be. I figured they'd just be bored, kind of twiddling their thumbs, you know, not really paying any attention. They were all crying.
Aww.
That shows and how their hearts are so innocent and they do feel this. You know, what happens when they grow up and they don't have it anymore? But the kids, no matter who they were all crying. And it was very, and the teacher was like, how come you make these kids cry?
Like, good going, Donna.
They're learning about animals. What could be better, you know?
Right. Right. Well, I think, you know, children, you know, they have that sense of wonder and they're that clean slate. So, you know, they can be molded. And I think that as far as long-lasting results, in addition to passing laws, if we can get the children to get it, you know, to realize that, you know, chaining dogs is not a kind way to treat your pets, I think if we could teach them that in the schools, they would be the ones going home and talking to their mom and dad and going, you know, do we really have to have, you know, Rover out in the backyard? I mean, can we bring him in and, you know, meet, hopefully reach the parents that way?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that would be ideal.
Because you start them out young to, the, you know, with, at the schools and growing up and learn how to treat the animals with dignity and respect and, you know, not go up and hit them or torture them or grab their tail or smack them in the face. You know, there's...
Be gentle.
Animals don't... Yeah, be gentle with them and compassion and, you know, kindness. It's not... It doesn't take any amount of money, nothing, to be kind out there. You know, kindness rocks the world. You know, you hear these good stories and it rocks the world. You know, with, whether it's human... You know, helping humans or humans helping animals. It's just, you know, it's like the domino effect. When you hear good things like that happening and, you know, happy stories at the end, it just makes you want to just like just jump to the ceiling, you know, and say, this is great. This is what we need more of. Here's the solution right here. You know, so.
Right. You know. There's a. I think you've probably heard of Red Rover, the Red Rover program.
Mhm.
Yes. This book I think would be a really good addition. I probably should reach out to them and let them know about this book and if they haven't seen it yet. But they go into the classrooms and they do reading, humane reading. To the kids in the classrooms, and this would probably be a really great addition to their curriculum when they do these readings in the classrooms. So actually, now that I'm sitting here and talking about it, it's like, oh yeah, I should probably connect with them, and if they haven't seen this book yet, but it'd be a good one to add to their library. Because there's some good ones.
That's awesome, Jennifer. You know, that more like that and with the children. You know, more – I seen one going through the news feed the other day where children was going inside the shelters and reading the animals' books. And I go, this is awesome, you know.
Yeah.
Bring it to them.
I've seen that too.
You did? That's great.
Say a prayer for all the dogs in North Carolina and all these areas where we're getting like 12-plus inches of snow this weekend.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And you know what, Donna and Jennifer, that, you know, with dogs being chained out, whatever weather is extreme, hot weather, 90, 95 degrees, that's too hot, you know, and you see these horrific photos where they're tied to the trees, not that much room to move, you know, there's no food, water. They need to be free, you know, be free, freedom.
Well, because they're pack animals. They're pack animals. And, you know, they like, for example, a lot of times, because, like, part of working the campaign over here, I was appalled to find that there were two, and there's could be more, sledding operations over here where they keep these dogs, you know, chained 24/7 to these little hovels, and you know, and they go, well, they're hardy, they can handle it, you know, and it's like they're kin to the wolves, you know, they're fine out there, but it's like they're not logical, because out in the wild, what do the wild animals do? They seek out dens, caves, places to hunker down together in a little ball where they're snuggled and they can have that contact. Where these dogs chained, they might be able to visually see each other, but they can't snuggle.
Yeah, they can't snuggle and they can't move. They stay warm.
Right. They can't share the body heat. They're by themselves. They don't have that contact. They can't touch noses or anything, and so that their social, you know, behavior is stunted and it's stifled, and they can't behave naturally like they're supposed to. And, you know, I tell these people, it's like, well, have you ever seen a wolf just standing out 24/7 in the middle of a field in a blizzard going, yeah, I'm a wolf, I can handle this, I'm wild, you know,
not
I'm
at
good.
All.
It's like, no. They find a place to get warm. But the dog on the chain, they can't. They can't. They are forced.
Choice.
Right. The people have taken that choice away, and it usually is detrimental. And unfortunately, for so many of these dogs, the only mercy that these dogs see is, unfortunately, death. Because,
right.
You know, and that's a horrific, you know, thing to think about. Because, I mean, a dog that is suffering, they can't even take their own life to make the pain go away. And
yeah.
That, to me, that just makes me shudder to realize that. I mean, we as human beings, I mean, it's always terrible when somebody takes their life to make the pain stop. But these dogs, they don't even have that choice. They don't even have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
They just
right.
suffer on and on. And that, it's just, it's so wrong. It's wrong. It's so wrong. And we're definitely, we're hoping with time, you know, we can continue to make the changes. Has there been any new developments? Because you mentioned your county, Donna. Have you heard of any other surrounding counties that maybe have been thinking about adopting the ordinance that you had?
A lot of people reach out to me and ask me what kind of campaign did we do and what kind of points did we make. And it's just been great to hear from probably a number of different counties around, you know, and so I've been really glad about that. I do think we need to go back to Davidson County again, especially since there are some new commissioners as of like this week, literally.
Yay.
Literally.
Hopefully good ones.
literally it's time to start getting the forces together because the brand new commissioners, you know, I'm sure that they would, I know them. I mean, I know who they are and they're going to be a lot more easy to talk to.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes. Well, yeah, because I'm, because also the group that we have going, the Canine Unchained USA, I just kind of use it as a file cabinet for stories and material. And I've just been working on trying to share and store in the group there for anyone that does, yeah, want to go to their commissioners and start working on it. Like, for example, some of the material that I added there is, and you probably have heard it, Donna, one of the reasonings that is often given to not pass legislation is, you know, people can't afford fences.
Well, that's so dumb. That's so dumb. That's so dumb. I hate that. I'm like, well,
right?
You know, I hate it, but they don't need a dog if they can't keep it.
Right.
And then there's all kinds of assistance that they can get.
Well, there is, and also, so one thing that I did is that here in California, I mean, we do have the three-hour limitation, which we're hoping to go to no unattended, because unfortunately, the gray areas, there is still dogs on chains here and there. But there are many limited-income neighborhoods. What I did was I went onto Google Earth, and I just toured a lot of the limited income neighborhoods in California areas, and I did screenshots of these you know, low income homes that had yards. They had fences. They had yards with their dogs. You can see pictures of them running around in the yard. So I've put that in the group, and so what I've told some of the different people that are in the group, hey, if you're in your state, in your area, your commissioners keep going to that excuse, well, let's not pick on the limited income neighborhoods. It won't happen. They can't do it. And so I say, well, show them pictures of these limited income neighborhoods that have fences, that they you know, their income is low, but they have yards where their dogs are free to move around in their yard. So that can combat that excuse right there. If it can be done in California, the whole state of California, it can be done in other states as well, in other neighborhoods. So it can shoot that excuse down.
All right. Thank you. Very good. Very good.
Yes. Well, we got to look for, you know, the rebuttals to all these these excuses that are thrown out there, because
just like the one where they say the shelters will fill up. Yeah, they will for a while, and unfortunately, they will for a while. But then people, when they get used to it, it doesn't stay that way.
Well, and that kind of even depends too. I actually have some letters that I'm not sure how long ago, but PETA had gone through and it reached out to a lot of these areas that had no unattended tethering passed, and they asked them those questions. Hey, when you passed this ordinance, did your shelters fill up? Did it cost more money? And a lot of the, you know, these reasons that are usually given, and these letters written by law enforcement and animal control, a lot of them are saying, you know, we really didn't see very little to no influx of dogs in the shelter or strays. I mean, if there was, very little, but overall it's been a very positive thing, and they also said that it costs little to no really additional money to, you know, to have like other officers and that. So that's another reasoning, you know, that it's not really cost more money for manpower, because with no unattended tethering, it's a visual thing. All you have to do is look and say, oh, well, hey, they're that person's not with the dog. You know, what's,
sure.
You know, we need to go check out what's going on here. And they don't have to sit there and wait for 3, 5, 6 hours to verify. or a lot of times people will take it off and the law enforcement leaves and they go, oh, okay, they're gone. Let's put the dog back on the chain.
Mm-hmm.
And so with no unattended tethering, they won't be able to do that, and they can't do that. And believe it or not, there is an ordinance in Florida with a no unattended tethering that dates back to 1992.
Wow.
So
wow.
That's a ways back. So that's even before the federal government labeled it as cruel in 96. So that's a pretty old ordinance, and to have a no unattended tethering, that's pretty amazing.
Absolutely. I love it.
Yes. So hopefully hopefully seeing more and more people. I've had a lot of people, you know, approaching to say, hey, you know, how can we do this in our area? And just trying to encourage people, you know, to kind of give each other moral support, because that's a big part of it, as you know, Donna, it's kind of scary, you know, especially if you're in a close-knit community, to say something about something your neighbor's doing, or getting a law passed that you know will affect your neighbor doing this.
Exactly.
Got to encourage the citizens to be brave for the pups.
Right. You know, it's amazing how many times, you guys would not even believe how many times I get a call from somebody and they say, this dog is suffering, can you help? What can I do? And then I'm like, well, have you called animal control? You know this is illegal now here, right? And they're like, no, I haven't. I'm like, why not? Oh, I'm afraid.
Oh, yes. Yes.
They're going to come after me. And you know, it is a very good, you know, it is a very good fear. I've felt that fear. I know what that fear is. I've been there. I've worn those shoes.
Right. Well, it can be a validated concern, most definitely. I mean, if you have somebody that's, you know, treating an animal cruelly, it's very possible that they could be a violent person, you know, or you never know what the scenario is, and you don't know what kind of backlash you might incur. But You know, so it is a brave move. I mean, it is a gutsy thing to do, no doubt. But it just, you know,
non-confrontational, you know, some people that are non-confrontational have a real hard time.
Right.
You know.
They're like, how can I help this dog without, you know, getting into a fight with my neighbor? Yeah. Although, usually, though, I would think that most of the time law enforcement would let you report anonymously, I would hope. But, you know, I don't know.
No,
I don't know if that's required or not.
In our county, they would not, you know, for many years, they would not let you do it anonymously.
Really?
It may still be that way. Because the reason they give is because if somebody needs to go to court, they need the witness to appear, and they want their name, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people hear that, and they're like, oh, I don't want to complain, never mind, you know, and it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad that if at least nothing else, if they could stay anonymous unless it did go to court.
True.
You know, like just say, hey, you know, I'm reporting. Can you do a, usually, it's like what I do is if I call, it's like, can you do a wellness check, please? You know, I'm concerned about this dog. Can you please do a wellness check and you know, see what kind of shape they're in? But like you're saying, though, if there's no law against that, the certain behavior that they're treating their dog with, then it's like, well, only so much that the law can do. So that's frustrating. That's very frustrating.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, if more.
I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Yeah. The sad part is that it's happening so much out there, you know, and all the audience out there, if you see any kind of animal cruelty, please report it. Go anonymous. You know, because if you don't, the problems in this, you know, you can help save an animal's life, you know, and do what you can to help it. You know, if you see one out there tied to a tree in all this extreme cold weather, you know, do something. Because I've seen photos, Donna and Jennifer, where they're frozen to the dead to the ground. And it's so horrific. You know, you know, I've had shows, several shows on this, and will continue to do so. You know, animals and dogs and children and hot cars or cold, you know, extreme weather. It's only common sense. All this could be prevented. It's prevention.
Right.
You know, common sense. So if you see something out there, everyone, please do something.
Right.
Take that action.
You could be their only salvation.
That's their only means
of salvation. Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, because a story that just came across just, what, yesterday, day before, because a lot of people don't think about it too, is most often with tethering, chaining, it's out of sight, out of mind. And this Great Dane was so hungry and starving, he chewed off his leg. He was eating his leg. Because he couldn't get away. It's just so horrific. I mean, what
many times this happens too.
I can't even. Yeah.
That is disgusting.
It is.
My goodness.
You know, because these dog tethered, it's like they have no way to come up to their people and say, "I'm hungry. You know, I'm hurting. I'm cold." They're stuck and. Too often, they get forgotten about. They get forgotten about, and then these happen.
Mhm. And so many things can happen to a trained dog. Predators can get them, and
right.
Not just the weather, also predators.
Right.
Firing, spiders.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, there's no way. Yeah, I've wanted to do it, and I've tried to talk to my husband to see if there was a way to do it, because he works in security systems and cameras and stuff, and I thought it'd be interesting to say if, you know, somebody, and you know, I'd be willing to do it, is to attach a camera, like, to my head or lapel or something, and to chain yourself to a tree and get the dog's perspective of a chain life.
Right.
And document maybe a week of 24/7 being chained to a tree and put it on fast forward and to see what they see from their eyes, what the world
right.
looks like from a 6-foot chain. And
right.
you know, and to think about, wow, you know, what loneliness and boredom.
There is no way. I mean, it's just, I mean, all, and it's not just like minor problems out there. It's massive. That's the sad part.
Right.
You
know? Well, and I
and
think the loneliness has to be the worst.
It has to be. I mean, can
right.
you imagine? I couldn't do it. There's no way.
Yeah.
Not
I mean, you know, they don't have a smartphone. They don't have any games. They don't have anything they can play with out there. And if they're chained alone, it's complete. It's isolation. It's complete. It's like solitary confinement. And that was used in medieval times to punish prisoners. Is a solitary confinement, and it makes people. It makes people go mad. They go insane
yeah.
from
yeah.
boredom and loneliness. And it's like that's what happens to a lot of these dogs. They go
mm-hmm.
insane.
Mm-hmm.
from lack of stimulation from other dogs or people. And to me, that would be the worst over anything, over starvation or anything, is to be alone all the
yeah.
time. That's the worst. And I think that's what gets me the most about chain dogs. Because my dogs are, they're constantly with me. They're on my bed. It's like, it's the doggy den bed. And they're near me. Constantly,
right.
and wherever I'm in the house, it's like that's the little entourage that follow, you know, goes to me around the house, and it's like they're so sociable, and to have the dog stuck out there, I mean, I can't even imagine like having my dog on a chain, taking my dog right now and sticking him on a chain in the backyard. Oh, I don't even know what she'd do. Horrific.
They would freak out because they're not
used to it. Oh, she'd freak out, and she'd probably die in a short amount of time of just despair. Like, how could mom?
Mm-hmm.
Why did mom do this to me? And yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, and you let your furry loved ones inside with you. You know, just because they love to be cared for, not just fed and give water and then out to the restroom, but they want to spend quality time with you too. You know, they want to be there and be loved and cared for.
They thrive on it. They absolutely thrive on it.
They love that. And, you know,
they're
pay
like
attention
small children.
That,
right?
Yes,
right
there, Jennifer. Right
they're
there.
Like small children. I mean, a lot of the behavior, the things that they do are like kids. They're like, oh, my word, you guys are like little kids, like, you know, fighting over this.
We're
or...
<We're babies. laughs>
They totally are. Totally are.
Fur little fur balls that are fur kids.
Right. They totally
they're
are.
Awesome, though.
And hey, Donna, has any new songs like come to mind at all? Like,
well,
you think you might be making any more?
I wrote one that I haven't recorded yet officially. It's just on YouTube. And the song is called Nobody Came. So if you type in Nobody Came in my name, it comes up.
Oh, okay.
And I'd like to do a professional version of that. And, you know, when I adopted my beagle out of a shelter, he had heartworms severely, and he was pitiful. And you know, he is one of the loves of my life. He is the most interesting little dog. He's pimpled, and he snorts a lot, and he's hilarious.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we got less than a minute here, and I could go for a couple more hours with you both of you, because I've really enjoyed this show, and I want to thank Donna for coming.
I will look up your
again.
Song.
And I want to welcome you back in 2019. Keep up the great work you're doing. And Jennifer is going to be on the first show of January 3rd, Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern. And want
to you have
welcome
to come
her
on,
back,
Donna.
Jennifer. Yeah, you'll have to I'll give you a notice or send you a promo, Donna. And so everyone, I hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, or whatever you're celebrating. And
both
a better, stronger, happier, healthier new year, 2019. And
a change free America. Yeah.
That's right. God bless America. You know, be a voice for the voiceless because they're dependent on us. But everyone have a nice and peaceful evening and looking forward to y'all. You coming back January 3rd, 2019, 7 o'clock Eastern. Good night. And
thanks for
Donna.
Having me.
Thank you, Jennifer. Hey, you're so true. You're welcome.
For all
thanks for tuning in and being a guest. Another great show tonight, everybody. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
God bless America.
God bless you and Merry Christmas.
Merry
God bless. Merry Christmas.
Hugs and kisses.
Back at ya.